Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
I think that there can be no higher priority than what we have been clear is our highest priority.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
Kamala? Nah. Kamala. Get your Kamala Namala merch at StuDoesMerch.com today and use the code STU10 and save 10% off your entire order. Follow us on YouTube as well if you don't already. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. We've got this show. We've got comedy skits. We've got live story reaction and a ton more. Just hit the bell for notifications anytime that we post. And I will tell you specifically, tomorrow night we have debate coverage right here on Blaze TV. So you will get the Blaze TV coverage that we're going to be doing. Have a great panel of guests, really good conversations following up after the debate to kind of see what went on there. And then after that coverage is over, we're going to go live on YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. So join us. We were getting a lot done, I think, talking about everything as it kind of happens and trying to focus on what it means and to solve at least a tiny bit of the insanity going on right now. And of course, YouTube is the place to go to stop and solve insanity, I think, or something. It's also a place to go to for very expensive football and baseball cards, which is what my son uses it for. But that's a totally different story. You may remember Harrison Tinsley. He's been on the show before when he was fighting to save his son from some truly terrifying radicalization. Well, he's back on the show today, and he's got an amazing update to his story. Bernie Sanders is saying the quiet part out loud when it comes to Kamala Harris. We'll go over his comments. But we're going to start by doing Kamala's popularity illusion, which mainly reminds me of the Dua Lipa song Illusion. And you should know this about me. This has nothing to do with the news, but I am in my Dua Lipa era. It's important for you to understand. I only listen to Dua Lipa songs now. I think it's the right thing to do for me, for America. And if you have any questions about my judgment on particular things, that might be the reason. Just so you know, only Dua Lipa from now until like 2030. That's all I'm doing. Particularly Illusion over and over again. That's just the way I am now. That's who you're watching. You should know who you're watching, and that's who you're watching. Okay, you should also know who your president is. This is a kind of a crazy idea, but like sometimes people like to know the policies of their presidential candidates. And we could ask, maybe Kamala in an interview or something, but it has been now 74 days without an interview. And I want people to remember exactly why I say this, because it wasn't since the start of her campaign. It was since debate night. Debate night was the last time she did an interview. She did it with Anderson Cooper. It was about 12 minutes long, if I remember correctly. She was the topic of this interview is why Joe Biden is absolutely fine. And he's a great president and should remain on the ticket because he's so wonderful. Okay, so she was lying throughout the entire interview. Then you may notice she did a little bit of back and forth with RuPaul. She got interviewed by her vice presidential pick, Tim Walz. That doesn't count. None of that counts. Oh, well, she did that interview with Dana Bash. No, she didn't. She did an interview with Tim Walz and Dana Bash. I won a one-on-one interview. That one doesn't count. So 74 days now. And of course, now she can't do an interview because she's in debate prep mode. So you got that going on. Now, Kamala Harris is, I want to bring you back to kind of where this was, if you've forgotten who Kamala Harris was. And this is not by us. Yes, of course, I've been doing Veep Thoughts forever, making fun of her. Of course, I don't like her very much, and I think she would be a terrible president. But it wasn't just me. The entire Democratic establishment had lost faith in Kamala Harris. Let me bring you back to 2023. A New York Times story. Kamala Harris is trying to define her vice presidency, even if her allies are tired of waiting. The painful reality for Ms. Harris is that in private conversations over the past few months, dozens of Democrats in the White House, on Capitol Hill, and around the nation, including some who helped her out on the party's 2020 ticket, said she had not risen to the challenge of proving herself as a future leader of the party, much less the country. Even some Democrats, whom her own advisors referred reporters to for supportive quotes, confided privately they had lost hope in her. I mean, like, let's say you're having trouble at work and your boss comes to you and is like, hey, look, I got to say, I don't think your performance is up to snuff. And you say, well, I'm doing lots of great stuff behind the scenes. Talk to Bill. Bill knows all the stuff I've been doing. And then they go to Bill and Bill says, oh, yeah, they're doing great stuff. Off the record, though, they're terrible. They don't know what they're doing. They're not the leader that you think they are. If they're trying to, like, boost themselves with me, that's a terrible sign, because it is a terrible sign. If the people you point to give you positive feedback abandon you and go off record and say, God, she sucks, you really, really have lost this crew. And that's kind of where we were throughout the entire vice presidency of Kamala Harris till the second they needed her. The second they needed her, they all flipped, and we're supposed to believe it. Do you believe it? Do you? I don't think you do, but man, I wonder about the country sometimes. And, you know, we did a show, I want to say it was maybe 2 weeks ago today, and the title of it was Stu Does Kamala's Peak? Question mark. And it was a question mark as to whether this was kind of the peak. Are we going to start seeing a fade here? Because I kind of felt like that was about the time. You're going to have the convention, of course, go on. That's usually wonderful coverage. And then maybe you see a little crest and maybe some fading in Kamala's numbers. Well, we have this out from the New York Times, State of the Race. A dead heat with 8 weeks to go. How dare they steal the phrase, which is also the name of my sub-podcast available on the Stu Does America stream called The State of the Race with Stu Bergier, a phrase that I came up with approximately 174 years ago. State of the Race. It's mine. It's copyrighted or something. Don't look into that. But it's that is available. And we're going to do one. Last week, we wound up getting too busy with other things. We're going to get to some this week because there's a lot of polling. We've got the debate stuff going on. We've got to get to some State of the Race. Probably tomorrow morning, we'll do something on this. National polling average from the New York Times has 49 for Harris and 47 for Trump. And what's interesting about that, of course, is you got to kind of look at the way the Electoral College plays out. What Democrats like to do is they like to talk about the popular vote, which, of course, as you know, means nothing in this country. It's not a metric that matters. You know, we're going to our Fantasy League playoffs, which, by the way, I made. I want you to make sure I made the Fantasy Baseball playoffs. However, my son won the division in our Fantasy League. It's a father-son league. He won the division, and I was arguing he should get a bye in the playoffs. However, the bylaws of our league say the divisions don't matter. And I said, well, why do we have divisions then if the divisions don't matter? And they said, for fun. Now, I don't know why that's fun to have a division that if you win it, you don't get anything out of. But what I will say about that whole fantasy football or fantasy baseball perfect analogy I just made is that our popular vote also means nothing. You could sit here and argue about what you think it should do, but it doesn't do the things you want it to do. So it doesn't matter what you think. Just like it didn't matter what I thought about the division in our fantasy league. The point I'm trying to make here is that California, New York, Illinois, they run the numbers up for the Democrats. So they get massive numbers and big, big wins in places like California and New York, but it doesn't really matter. So if you win by 1.5, 2 points, if you're a Democrat, you very well might be the underdog in the Electoral College. That's just the way the system's set up. If you don't like it, you can amend the Constitution. You can go through your little, speaking of fantasy leagues, your fantasy league game of trying to get enough states to change the rules on the national popular vote thing, which is something they're trying to do, and we've talked about before. But at the end of the day, popular vote doesn't mean all that much. It just is a kind of an indication of the state of the race, which, by the way, my copyrighted phrase. Let me show you some interesting breakdowns the Times had real quick. If you know, polls miss. They do. They may miss every time. They're not perfect. They are general instruments. I have this rant all the time. If you've been to the show around the show for a long time, I apologize for repeating a bit of it, but basically polls just tell you generalities. They don't tell you specifics. They tell you things that are in the area. Usually they miss by a few points. It is not always consistent which way they miss. It has been consistent when Donald Trump has been in the race. However, in 2016 and 2020, both polling misses went toward the Republicans. It favored the Republicans. So when you looked at the polls, they looked better for Democrats than the results actually were. 2022 was the opposite. 2012 was also the opposite. So it does go back and forth. Right now, if you look like if you look at the race at where it stands now, of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 highlighted swing states, if right now Harris leads in three, there are three that are tied and Arizona goes to Donald Trump. So in that scenario, you can see that Harris would be favored. If the polling missed like it did back in 2022, most of those states moved toward Harris. So Harris would win six of the seven states. If they moved towards Trump like they did in 2020, Trump would win the election easily. So what we are is in a very, very close election. They broke it down this way as well. If the electoral votes counted only in states where a candidate leads by three or more, it's 226 to 219 Harris. Remember, you need to get to 270 electoral votes if you want to win. By the way, that 226 to 219 margin is exactly what we had on our chalkboard that we did, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. If you don't go into the swing state stuff, that's basically the state of the race. Electoral votes, if current polling translates perfectly to the results, of course, that won't be true. But if it did, Harris would win 292 to 246. If the miss of the polls were the same way it was in 2020, Trump would win easily, 312 to 226. If it went the other way and went the way that it went in 2022 on the polling miss, Harris wins 303 to 235. A lot of that is to kind of give you a little bit, maybe too heavy numbers focused account of where we are in the state of the race. So let me give you to Harry Anton. He's the data political guy over at CNN. And you might say, oh, God, CNN. But Harry actually does a lot of good work. Also tweets a lot about diet cream soda, which, by the way, Dr. Brown's, if you want to go that direction. I will get on my friends over at Hank's to make a diet cream soda. They have all their sodas are fantastic. I would love a diet cream from Hank's. I don't have that right now. So I'm going to give you Dr. Brown's. Diet Dr. Brown. You want a great one? Diet Dr. Brown's cream soda. Okay. Here is Harry Anton.
Look right now. Kamala Harris up, but get this, by just 0.6 points on average. Only about half a point, 6/10 of a point. My goodness gracious, that is how tight we are talking right now across these seven battleground states. It is a race, Mr. Berman, that is well within the margin of error when you look across these seven key battleground states that will determine this election.
Now you look at this, you go, 0.3%, then, you know, they're basically the same. But you're talking about actual vote margins that were so small. So show us the difference that a polling margin can make.
All right, so let's just say the polls match up perfectly to what the results end up being. Kamala Harris would win this election with 292 electoral votes to Donald Trump's 246. But let's just say we move the current polls and let's say the result differs by them by a single percentage point and Donald Trump is the beneficiary of it. Look at this. If Trump outperforms his current polls by just a single point, you take that Kamala Harris win and look at this. Donald Trump gets 287 electoral votes because the bottom line is Pennsylvania would flip up here and you would also get this flip out in Nevada over here. And that, my friends, is what we're talking about.
I mean, there's almost, I mean, this is basically the closest election that I can remember. And you go back to 2000, obviously that one was the closest one of all time, really, when it comes down to the election results. But that was also sort of a situation where, you know, the polls weren't necessarily as close as this one is. Now, who knows what's going to happen? Nate Silver says this latest poll from the New York Times that I want to go through. Confirms the shift in Donald Trump Kamala Harris race. He's got, I think it's 64-36, a percentage chance to win. Donald Trump with the favorite. He's been getting some heat because of some, you know, nerdy parts of his electoral model that give you a bounce for the convention that didn't really show up for Kamala Harris. I think largely that was probably biased in earlier. But I do think, as I said a couple of weeks ago, I think we've seen the peak, at least, of this particular Kamala Harris boomlet. I think that one's it's already fading, and I think it's true. New poll suggests Harris's support has stalled after a euphoric August. This is from the New York Times. Let me give you some of the details of this particular poll. Is Kamala Harris's surge beginning to ebb? That's the question raised by the New York Times Sierra College poll, which finds Donald J. Trump narrowly ahead of her among likely voters nationwide, 48 to 47. Why? Why is that happening? Well, here's part of it. Trump is more popular than before. Overall, 46% of likely voters say they have a favorable view of the former president. That's down a tick from our last national poll when 47% had a favorable view. It makes a more popular than he was in 2016 or 2020. Trump has an advantage on the issues as well. We asked voters a two-part question. First, what's the most important issue to you? Second, who do you think Ms. Harris or Mr. Trump is better on that issue? By that measure, Trump has a 5-point lead on the issue that matters most to voters. Whatever that may be for them. So you might think it's the border. You might think it's inflation. You might think it's the economy. You might think it's abortion. And people have all sorts of different ideas. But Trump actually wins when it comes to the actual issues. This is one reason to avoid talking about issues if you're Kamala Harris, right? Minimize the opportunities you have to actually say things of substance. This is why the debate tomorrow night is so important. Did I mention we're covering it on Blaze TV and coverage after youtube.com/studiosamerica. That Trump occupies the center is another advantage for Donald Trump, says the New York Times. A majority of voters say Mr. Trump is not too far to the left or the right on issues, while only around a third say he's too far to the right. Nearly half of voters, in contrast, say Ms. Harris is too far to the left. Only 41% say she's not too far. So basically, Trump kind of, I mean, and look, if I have a complaint about the current Trump campaign, it would be he's not far enough to the right for me. That's been the story with me and Donald Trump really since the beginning. He doesn't, you know, he has a policy platform that isn't always consistent to the way conservative values personify themselves in my particular mind. Now, I might be wrong on that. In fact, I talk to a lot of conservatives who think they really like his policy platform better than what I would define as conservatism. That's, of course, they're right. And that's why he wins primaries. But I will say, when it comes to Donald Trump, the way he's emphasized his particular platform here, it has been a lot of really moderate stuff. I mean, look, IVF is not a particular passion issue for me. I know some people are really opposed to it. Overwhelmingly, it's a popular polling item if you ask people about IVF. But like, separate that from the conversation. I do not want the president of the United States advocating for a platform idea of paying for IVF from the federal government or mandating insurance companies to pay for it. That's, to me, not conservative at all. It is something that did successfully politically wrestle away this narrative the left had, saying that Donald Trump wanted to ban IVF. He's breaking every conservative policy platform that has existed for 50 years to say he wants it so badly the government's going to pay for it. So, like, Donald Trump has come up with, and this is the same thing with no taxes on tips. It's the same thing with the idea of a 25th Amendment to modify the 25th Amendment to stop vice presidential candidates from hiding the dementia of the vice of the actual president. He's found a way to like put bold policy platforms out there in the ether and wrestle away issues from the left. He's been very successful with this on all three of those counts. And it's been interesting to watch. I feel like he's found a new tool in his toolbox. That being said, I don't necessarily love all those policies. And so my issue would be, hey, I don't know, is he far enough to the right? Certainly, and I'll give you the abortion example as one we've talked about previously. You know, I don't like those policies, but there's a reason he's doing that for sort of pragmatic uses. And we'll get to more of that here in a little bit. An overwhelming majority of voters still say that the economy is poor and that the nation is heading in the wrong direction. A clear majority, 61% of voters, say they want the next president to bring a major change for Mr. Biden, compared to 34% who want a minor change and 3% who don't want a change. Can we just stop on that one for just a second? How many times have we been told that actually Bidenomics is working? Actually, people love Joe Biden. Actually, this has been an amazingly successful presidency. He just got a little bit old and couldn't debate anymore, and we're so sorry about that. That's why I just take Kamala. Don't worry about it. The American people, 2-1, are rejecting this presidency. A presidency, I might note, and this is something that not everybody knows, Kamala Harris is the current vice president in that administration. She owns this like Biden owns this. Her name, Biden-Harris administration. Her name's the Harris. Kamala Harris is the Harris in Biden-Harris. Did you know that? Does anybody know it? It's amazing. Only 40% of likely voters said Ms. Harris represented change, while 55% said she represented more of the same. How can it be 40%? She's the current vice president of the United States. Mr. Trump, in contrast, was seen as representing change by 61% of voters, while only 34% he said he was more of the same. Yeah, he's changing back to what he was. What is it? Make America great again. And then it was keep America great. And now it's like keep America. I don't know what the new one is, but it's basically make America great again. And that's what he wants to do. He's going to change back to what we had previously. It's something that obviously the American people are seeing as different than the current administration. Obviously. This isn't a tough part of the quiz. She's the vice president of the United States. Politics on the border. Well, nearly half of voters say Harris is too liberal or progressive. A majority of voters see her as at least somewhat responsible for the problems along the border. And a majority of voters say she is a risky choice and more of the same. Hardly an enviable combination. Despite a month of favorable coverage, voters still don't know enough about Harris. Huh. 28% of voters said they needed to learn more, compared to only 9% who said the same about Trump. More than anything, voters say they want to hear more about where she stands on the issues. She doesn't even know where she stands on the issues. Something that her campaign has seemed to struggle to lay out. They haven't struggled to lay it out. They're intentionally doing this. We haven't heard anything from her of value when it comes to her actual positions. Does she? Can we check on this? Has she put a policy platform up on her website yet? I know she didn't as of a week or two ago. Does she still not have a policy section on her own website? This is incredible. How is the media not freaking out about this? If they were doing their jobs at all, they'd be losing their mind at this candidacy. Well, she's still hiding. I will remind you, it's what, 74 days? Yeah, 74 days without an interview. The closest we might get to a fair interview could come tomorrow night, though. Why? The debate. And this is the chance not to get a real interview from ABC News. I don't expect that, unfortunately. But I do expect Donald Trump to try to hold her responsible. If I were Trump and I were preparing for this debate, what I would have in my mind are five different ways, five questions that you can ask her specifically and try to force her to answer. And if she won't answer, she'll look like she's avoiding it. That will put her on the defensive, that will put her in a situation she's uncomfortable answering. I wouldn't make it like, why did you change your mind on this, right? If you have a different way of asking that, maybe on one of those issues, you can get to it. But trying to put her in a position where she is off balance and not prepared. Because if you can find those moments, she's likely to just give you a word salad of Veep thoughts. That's what we need. First of all, we need more material for new Veep thoughtses. And thoughtses isn't the way to say that, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? We need new Veep thoughts to go up on veepthoughts.com. So first of all, put her in that position for us. But secondly, do it for America, because people need to see her trying to think on her feet. And what she normally will do will give you word salad, but hidden in there is usually a nugget of how crazy liberal she is. Those are her values, as she's reminded you over and over again. Her values have not changed. She won't answer specifics because you know what's going to happen after the election when they say, hey, Kamala, you seem to be going for getting rid of private insurance and going for Medicare for all. You said you wouldn't do that in the campaign. And you know what she'll say? No, I didn't. Where'd you get that from? Well, there was a statement from one of your campaign aides. Which aide? Put a name on it. What are you talking about? The fact that you're just communicating with some campaign aide and they're saying something has nothing to do with what I'm doing. What I'm doing is trying to make it better for the American people. And the best way to do that is this is a semi-quote, socialism. OK, it's a crazy, crazy path they're trying to go down. And they think they can run the clock out on you. Can they? We will see. And it will start tomorrow night. Blaze TV coverage starts when we're going to be showing the entire debate. I think there's going to be a pre-show, the debate. And then afterwards, we'll be there to analyze. And I will be there to analyze after that on YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Join us. If you're like me, you have a tendency maybe to put things off until the very last minute. And while, you know, a lot of times that works out, it can be fine. You know, like dinner, you didn't make anything, you stop at a fast food restaurant, maybe you can pull that off. Now, the amount that I talk about fast food might indicate that I should probably have some life insurance. And you know, life insurance is the type of thing you can't wait on, right? You got to get that done. Life insurance through Ladder is the easy way to do this. Ladder is 100% digital, no doctors, no needles, no paperwork. When you apply for $3 million in coverage or less, he's got to answer a few questions about your health in an application. You need just a few minutes and a phone or laptop to apply. Get Ladder's smart algorithms because they work in real time, so to help you find exactly the type of coverage that you need. No hidden fees, cancel anytime. Get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. Ladder policies are issued by insurers with long proven histories of paying claims. They're rated A and A+ by AM Best, so you don't have to worry about this. Just go to ladderlife.com/stew. Ladderlife.com/stew. See if you're instantly approved. It's LADDER life.com/stew. LadderLife.com/stew. I'm joined now by Harrison Tinsley. He's a parental rights advocate and a father himself, and he's been on this program before. Harrison, how's it going?
I'm doing wonderful, Stu. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming back on. Before we get to the update of your story, I want to take people back to the very beginning of it because, I'll be honest, it's quite a roller coaster ride. Can you tell me how all of this started?
It's been a battle, man. 4.5 years, but I was dating a girl in the Bay Area. We fell in love and she got pregnant super quickly into our relationship. And we were both stoked about that. We were both stoked when we found out it was a boy. We agreed upon the name Sawyer and we're super happy. And she made a post on social media when she announced that she was pregnant saying, "Baby Sawyer due in December, I'll love you whether you're a boy or girl or neither." And that was concerning. And me and her never agreed politically. And we know that caused some tension in the relationship. And essentially, as her pregnancy went on, she kind of became hostile towards me and was threatening me often that I wouldn't see Sawyer because of our political differences, and saying that to my mom and sister, and got to a point where she broke up with me and sent me a cease and desist letter and actually kept him from me. So I missed his birth. I found out about a week after from social media. And in 2 months after that, I filed in court fully for paternity custody visitation. It took 13 more months just to meet him. So in spite of being enthusiastic and excited about him since pregnancy, I didn't meet him until he was 15 months old. And that was a tragedy, but it built character, made me a stronger man, better man to be a better father and for Sawyer and for helping children in this world. And, you know, from there, I started my visits with him and they made it as difficult as possible, but I kept my head high. I did the right thing. And then I moved to the Bay Area. I was awarded half custody almost immediately, and I'm extremely grateful for that. And it was around that time that his mom started to harass and defame me horrendously. It was very untrue. The court gave me a temporary restraining order because of it. And she started to call Sawyer they, them, put dresses and girly clothes on him. And she was arrested for child endangerment and placed on a 5150 hold during that arrest. So all of those things and some other minor things I brought to court, I was awarded a trial. It ended up being a 5-day trial. And I felt like I finally had my chance to tell the court everything that's going on and how Sawyer's not safe and how he needs to be with me so I can protect him and love him and guide him. And I did this trial and I felt good about it. But after the trial, the court decided to keep custody 50-50. And essentially, I was devastated by that. And I decided that I had to do something to save Sawyer. So I decided I was going to appeal that decision. And, you know, I decided to come out publicly and speak about it, tell my story, to just, you know, tell the world what's going on so people understand that this is happening to children. And I was fortunate enough that, you know, Matt Walsh and stuff broke my story and it took off. And I did all these interviews, including with you. And I became part of this incredible movement to protect children and protect families' rights. And I'm just so thankful for all the people I've met and all the good we've been able to do. We fight the crazy bills in California that are attacking families, like AB 957 and, you know, AB 1955 this year. And I was basically became like my life's purpose to just, I decided that I'm going to save Sawyer and that I'm going to protect all children from gender ideology because it belongs nowhere near them. They're the most amazing, wonderful, innocent amongst us. They deserve love and protection. They don't deserve, you know, ideology and propaganda or talking about sex in any way, shape or form. And I'm just so thankful to have this purpose, and I'm going to fight till the end, until we destroy this, until children are saved.
Give me a sense of what it's like before we get to the updates in your case, which are really significant, but give me a sense of what it's like trying to go through this process in California. I feel like a lot of us, you know, I live in Texas, and there's enough crazy stories in Texas. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of them. But, you know, I do feel a bit sheltered from the Gavin Newsoms of the world here. What is it like trying to go through this when you're dealing with the California system?
You know, California is obviously the heart of it. And my court case is actually in San Francisco. So I'd say that's like the very, very heart of all of this. So it's tough. You know, I feel sometimes there's political bias and things like that that affect, you know, whether it's court or CPS or people involved. But at the end of the day, I've been fortunate enough to find that some people, whether it's in CPS or attorneys, et cetera, really do care about children more than anything. And I'm also, where I live in the Bay Area is more the San Jose, Santa Cruz area. And I don't know anyone who supports any of this. No parents, no people want, you know, secrets kept from parents from schools. They don't want kids taking irreversible hormones, blockers and surgeries. And they do not want men and women's sports. These are three, you know, issues that most Americans agree with, even in California. And our representatives are not representing us, and we need to put a stop to it.
So you've gone through this, you know, multi-year saga. You've had to deal with, I mean, you know, a heartbreak, right? Like, as a father, I can't imagine going through something like that. You have a situation where I think, you know, in the country, we have a problem with fathers just wanting to leave and not take care of their parents. You're in the opposite of their kids. You're in the opposite situation. You're doing everything you can to try to take care of your child. So you've gone through this whole process, and we finally have, it seems like, a little bit of resolution in your case. Can you talk about what happened?
Yeah. So essentially, I was, you know, laying there with my wife, and realized I had a bunch of missed calls, and it was the San Francisco police telling me to come pick up my son. And so I called them back, and I went there immediately. I got him, and it was, a police officer who I'd spoken to before because of restraining order stuff. And so he gave me some of the details. And it was a pretty horrifying scenario that my son had to deal with. His mother got into a confrontation with her father, physical confrontation that was very serious. There was blood, and she allegedly broke his nose and all these things. And Sawyer had to bear witness to this. I guess he snuck up, you know, probably wanting to see what's happening, who's hiding at first. And he snuck up with something similar to a kid's baseball bat. And according to Sawyer, his mom said, you know, hit him in the face. According to her, he did it on his own. I tend to believe Sawyer, but either way, I think that in that scenario, most adults would just tell a child to run away. And so Sawyer unfortunately had to be involved in it. And I've seen the police evidence of the kid's baseball, a bloodied kid's baseball bat in photo evidence. I don't think he actually did that damage, but to him, I don't think there's a difference. It sounds like a horrific thing that a child would go through, particularly when I've been warning the courts and showing them evidence that something like this could happen with the instability, you know, of his mother. And I pray that she, you know, gets the help she needs and becomes better to be a better mother for him. But it's not fair to keep children away from a safe parent when the other parent has serious, you know, problems and concerns.
Wow, that's incredible. So there's a violent incident. He actually either was told to or tried to step in and do something about it, which is actually incredible. I mean, it's an
admirable.
Yeah, an admirable thing to defend his mom. I mean, that's an incredible thing. And so obviously the point here is there's turmoil in the mother's home in some way, one that maybe a kid should not be around, allegedly. So what happens here? Like, what's the outcome? Is Sawyer going to be in a safe environment?
Sawyer is safe with me, but it wasn't particularly easy. So I actually filed an ex parte immediately in court. And they denied it, which was, I mean, just mind blowing to me and my attorney. The court, to my understanding, had to grant that, at least on a temporary basis. But they denied it. But thankfully, CPS in San Francisco stepped up and said, don't worry, we're going to keep him safe with you. And they did a very thorough investigation. I feel blessed by God that I got the CPS workers I did that put politics aside and cared about the child's safety more than anything. You know, and his mom tried to use politics and every dirty trick in the book, even though I was under no investigation. But just tried to use that this way bias, and they really put that aside and just did the right thing, did a good investigation, kept him safe the whole time with supervised visits. And we came to a resolution before the trial, and this is called dependency court. It's essentially CPS's court. It's a step above family court. And we came to an agreement that I would have full physical custody of Sawyer. We'd have split legal custody, but I had the decision making ability if there's no agreement, which I'm extremely thankful for. And that was a must have for me. And then just a bunch of safety precautions for when she gets to visit him. And she signed that. So this is done deal, at least for now.
I mean, I don't want to say it's a good outcome because it's been such a rough road to get there. But the other thing I think is important to point out here is You're getting custody of Sawyer, which is great, but also you're not getting custody of Sawyer because his mom was trying to make him into a girl. That's not really the reasoning here, right? This is just a physical violence situation, very, very sad and unfortunate and necessary for him to be out of that situation. But this is not a resolution where, like, California suddenly came to their senses on gender.
Correct. So I did make sure to, of course, bring it up in that trial, as well as bring it up to CPS, et cetera, in all of these examples, just to show them, because I don't believe anyone that would do that to a child, push that on a child, particularly when, like Sawyer, who adamantly says he's a boy and fights against it. He'll scream at you, "I'm a boy, not a girl." He gets very upset. You know, there's a time where he went to Disneyland with his mom and he's like, "Dad, when I went to Disneyland, I couldn't go on the rides unless I wore my princess shoes. I didn't want to wear princess shoes. I wanted to wear boy shoes." So, I mean, it's being forced upon him. And I don't think that anyone with a sane mental mind and stability, you know, would, like, nobody that doesn't have those problems would push that on a kid. And that's not a safe home for a kid with someone with those kind of problems in their head, because children just deserve love. They don't care about sex and all these weird abstract ideas that aren't true. And also, you know, he says he's a boy, so it's ridiculous. And he can tell every human being, every cartoon, whether they're a boy or girl, with complete accuracy. And this is unacceptable that people are doing this to children.
That part of it is very, very true. Harrison Tinsley, you're a parental rights advocate. I mean, that's not how you started this, though. You started just getting into a relationship and wanting to be a dad. Is it weird to think of yourself as a parental rights advocate?
It's very weird. You know, if you had asked me this 5 years ago, I'd have been like, "What are you talking about? Stu, politics or, like, what? Gender on kids?" I would have just been like, "I like playing my guitar and, like, building decks and, like, yeah, going snowboarding." I would never have ever thought I'd be in this situation, but I've embraced it. And I know that we're on, you know, the right side of history, that this is a real moment in time where we're going to put a stop to something evil. I would call it the lobotomy of our time. And this is going to be over within the next 10 years. And I really think everyone at home needs to start digging deep within themselves and realizing that they're going to have to look their kids in the eyes, look their grandkids in the eyes, look themselves in the mirror, and, you know, say what they did in this moment when we put a stop to this.
Man, it's an incredible story. Harrison Tinsley, it's a parental rights advocate, Harrison Tinsley, and also just a dad trying to do the best for his kid. Harrison, thanks so much for coming on the program and updating us on this situation.
Thank you so much, Stu. Be brave, everyone. Speak up. Now's the time.
So according to a new report, President Biden has signed off on a highly classified plan that shifts America's nuclear strategy to focus on China as a nuclear threat and to prepare for the possibility that the communist nation could team up with North Korea and Russia against the United States. That's a wonderful possibility of the future. If it doesn't make you nervous, you probably should be a little nervous by it. And at the very least, for any outcome, you don't know what it's going to be, but prepare your family. We talk about the basics a lot, and it's important to do all of those, you know, water and food and an alarm system on your house and all these things. But one thing you probably haven't considered is the Jace case from Jace Medical. Why? Because you don't think about your medication not being hard to find. But I mean, I bet you either you or somebody you know has tried to get the medication they need from a pharmacy and it's been delayed or really difficult to get for a long period of time. And that's really troubling for people. The Jace case kind of solves this in a lot of different ways. It's a personalized emergency kit that contains the antibiotics and medications that treat the most common deadly bacterial infections. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. And you just fill out a simple form online and they'll help you get it all set up. You just go to Jace.com. They have a bunch of add-ons too you can do. They can really customize this for you and your family. Jace.com. Enter the code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. The code is STU at Jace.com. Jase.com. Code STU.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
If you want to understand the 2024 Kamala Harris campaign, you need to go back to a fine feature film starring James Halpers of The Office. And it's called A Quiet Place. And in A Quiet Place, you have to be absolutely silent, because if you say anything, aliens will come and attack you. That's pretty much the way they're running the campaign right now. They're trying to say absolutely nothing. And certainly you don't say the quiet part out loud. You never, ever do that. But of course, Bernie Sanders is like an old curmudgeon. He doesn't know what's going on in the world. So he just blurts stuff out. And I want you to listen to this, because he is telling you in advance. Don't come back to me in 2026 and be like, wow, I can't believe how liberal Kamala Harris was on everything. He's telling you now. Bernie Sanders is telling you in advance. Please listen.
Describe Vice President Kamala Harris as a progressive. She has previously supported Medicare for all. Now she does not. She's previously supported a ban on fracking. Now she does not. These, Senator, are ideas that you have campaigned on. Do you think that she is abandoning her progressive ideals?
No, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election.
Interesting. She's trying to be pragmatic, which is, I didn't know it was a word, but pragmatic, and just trying to win the election. That's what she's doing. We've talked about this on the flip-flop shows. There's three of them so far. We have another one already coming, probably two more coming, but they're not technical flip-flops. She's not actually changing her position. She is just hiding her actual position and telling you more moderate things that poll better. That's a Kamala Harris flip-flop. And I want to remind you, we've talked about several of these, but I'll give you this one at least, because this one popped into my mind immediately. Edward Markey, he is Massachusetts, probably the arguably the most extreme of the environmentalist wacko types in the U.S. Senate. He has wanted the Green New Deal. He co-sponsored it. Kamala Harris was on board with his bill. And he said, the New York Times said, hey, she hasn't really talked about any climate issues in depth at all. She didn't really mention it. Edward Markey said, quote, I know it's in her DNA to be a historic environmental leader. The first agenda has to be to win. In other words, don't tell the American people what she's going to do. It is a disgrace. They're actually telling us in advance. It's amazing. Also, by the way, in case you were looking for something to do, want to make sure you know the schedule of events. Sure, we have our Blaze TV coverage, blah, 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 blah. But you can also get on a Zoom call with Robert De Niro for Paisans for Kamala. Steve Buscemi, Marissa Tomei, John Turturro, Mark Ruffalo, and Lorraine Bracco joined Bill de Blasio, Nancy Pelosi, and Leon Panetta to raise money for Kamala Harris. I guess this already happened, so you can't. I'm sorry. It's not that I wasn't up on my Paisans for Kamala news, but apparently it's already happened. You cannot get involved in that. I know it's sad. I know it's upsetting to you, but I guess you can watch it back on the YouTubes. All right, back in a second. Would it not be great if we had, let's say, political elections that were based on policy, principles, an understanding of the things that are actually real and important in the world? History, economics, the great works of literature, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution. If that doesn't sound like it's coming in the next few months, you're probably right. But you can still know about these things. Did you study them in school? Probably not. But even if you did, it's maybe a time for a refresher. Time and technology have changed a lot of things, but they have not changed basic fundamental truths about the world and our place in it. And that's why I love the Hillsdale College program that they're doing right now. They're offering over 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subjects you can imagine. Think of the world, the works of C.S. Lewis, or the stories of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, a requirement, I think, for every male in our society now. The history of the ancient Christian church. Do all this with Hillsdale's online courses. They're all available for free. For free right now. Hillsdale.edu/stu. Hillsdale.edu/stu. It's free to get started. It's easy to get started. They will walk you through the whole thing. And, you know, like, this is an incredible resource. We talk about technology improving the world all the time. Man, Hillsdale is doing something incredible here. Hillsdale.edu/stu to start. Hillsdale.edu/stu. All right. Tomorrow is debate night, September 10th, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on Blaze TV. It's Blaze Live presents the second presidential debate. Glenn Beck, Liz Wheeler, Steve Dace, Ali Beth Stuckey, Dave Landau, and myself. I'm going to be there as well. Go to blazetv.com/debate for over $40 off with code debate. It's the largest discount we've ever offered. $40 off right now. Don't wait. Make sure you can take advantage of this discount and never miss a moment of Blaze TV. Blaze TV Plus. Become a subscriber today.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.